We have a wireless caller, and you don't need 100 guesses who that is. Hello, Stormy. Well,
How's
my goodness.
that?
There we
Yeah,
go.
now that works. That works.
Okay. Yeah, this is the angelic switchboard. How may I direct your call?
That's a good one, Stormy.
I wasn't there last week because I had a knowing that someone was going to need counsel during the blessing call, so I didn't get on. And sure enough, the person that I knew would call called, and we talked for about, almost an hour. So, that's what is nice about having these knowings that I get to receive so I can plan my time appropriately.
Well, actually, Stormy, we all receive them. We just don't all hear them. You have made a point with your life of mindfulness. You are mindful about everything on every level. And so you hear what's there. And I want to emphasize to everybody else that there are many, just listen to Stormy. Okay, he's a wonderful person. But he's not cut out of a cloth that you're not. And you can learn from him that there are many dimensions of reality that are accessible to you. And we find out much that's needed, or much we can do, or many answers to our own life when we just tune in. So
Yes.
thanks for reminding us of that, Stormy.
Yes, and I have worked very hard at it. It takes diligence. It takes patience. It takes surrendering, and believing, letting God show me how I can believe in myself. That was the
Yes,
important thing,
that's
letting
true.
God show me how I can believe in myself.
Absolutely, totally.
And one more
And the
blessing.
sacrifices that go with it.
It's all appropriate and all glorious. I do have a blessing request, and it is for two pickle doors that Phil Walthall is trying to get rid of.
Oh,
And you know what
what is a pickle door?
that is.
No.
He said, well, Brian told him that was the finished doors that you paint on.
A
I don't know
pickle
where
door?
Phil, yeah, he, Phil, Phil, Phil called it a pickle door. I don't know. I never heard you say that, but it's the finished
Well,
door that is ready for you to paint on. He's got two of them.
years and years ago, my first paintings of angels were painted on ash doors because, kind of unexpectedly, serendipitously, I was led to create a prayer screen. Angels told me to create a prayer screen. Well, I didn't know what a prayer screen was, so I went to Home Depot and I saw these lovely folding ash doors, like the kind you put together and you make a corrugated closet door. One of the folding closet doors that pushes back and forth. And
Yeah.
I bought two of them, and actually I bought three of them, and I thought, put together, these might make a beautiful prayer screen. And so I did that, and I thought, but it looks awfully plain. What am I going to paint on it? And I thought, well, angels told me to do this, so you're on, guys. You're my subject. And I found that by washing thin, transparent paint over the wood grain, a really lovely illusion was created of transparency, angels appearing through the substance of wood and disappearing into the substance of wood. And I thought, well, that's actually what how the angels come to us. They can pass through any substance they need to. in order to get to the place they wish to be. And so I painted that prayer screen, and that was the beginning of my connection with Christ Truth League. It was the beginning of almost a decade of painting angels, but not always on these doors. But never once did I call them a pickle door. I have no idea.
I don't know what to do about that. He got it from Brian. Well, I do want to request a blessing for Brian to bless him with peace of mind for the dementia that he's going through. Phil wanted me to say that.
Okay.
A couple of blessing requests there. I don't know where Phil got the pickle door, but he was trying to get two of these doors that you painted on to you because he's got to get rid of them, and he just couldn't get through. And I went, well, I wonder what kind of angels are waiting to get through, either from you or from someone else.
Okay, well, I'll give Phil a call.
Yeah, okay, let's go on for the next.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Stormy. Great talking to you as always.
Angels with pickles.
We have Christopher here. Hi, Christopher. Can you hear us?
Your line is open.
Hey.
I hope you can hear me. I'm out by the ocean, so it's a little windy. Can you guys hear me okay?
Sounds great.
Perfectly.
Okay, good. Well, I just wanted to just give a lot of gratitude and testify that, you know, last week I called in and talked to you, Glenda, about a prayer that I had. And sometimes when I talk to you on this call, Christ's presence is very, very strong. And that was the case last week. And then, you know, sometimes there's a disorientation that comes in the wake of it because it's like my old self gets challenged and kind of pulled apart. And so this week there was that moment of just real deep surrender and a visitation from him in prayer. And this, I've been studying forgiveness, and there was this moment of like encounter with him after our talk, where I had such an elevated experience of his love, his boundless mercy, almost like, I don't know how to say this, but in that space with him, there's no need for forgiveness because it's infinite love. And so it was just so beautiful to have the answer to my prayer come in the form of him coming to visit me and help me see that sometimes my desire for forgiveness comes from this old wounds and this old idea of myself, of being less than what I am. And by being in his presence, seeing who I am and how loved I am. So just wanted to testify and give gratitude that, you know, bringing those prayers last week and communing with you all brought such blessings from Christ this week. And just wanted to say that. I feel like his presence gives me that experience. Oh, my goodness, I've been so hard on myself. And I feel his love saying, there's nothing to forgive. Just be with me. I'm here.
That's true. That's it. Yeah. Everything is already forgiven. That's what he did with his life. We've all been forgiven. But here's what happens to us. Is we feel our wounds. And then our wounds make us think we've done something wrong. Because in the context of human interactions at the level of the world, there is usually, there's punishment and hurt for wrongdoing. So when we feel wounded, we think we did something wrong. And then in order to get rid of the wounds and the punishment for doing something wrong, we go out and we seek forgiveness. And it's a completely backwards, upside down misunderstanding of what his gift has given us. We have already been completely forgiven. And we need to, for now, we need to forgive the hurt that we feel, because we brought forward, all of us, lots of wounds from ways of doing life we did not understand. We didn't understand that by walking into the fire we'd be burned, and yet we think, well, we were punished for walking into the fire. No, we just didn't know that it would hurt. We had a lot of things to learn because we were literally children, and we were compulsive and eager to experience life, and not always knowing what or why we were doing what we were doing. We got hurt a lot, and then we had misunderstandings with other people. And there's nothing that hurts us more than an emotional injury or a soul injury from another person. It's worse than being hit with a 2x4. It is. It hurts worse. And I think it would really help us get through those injuries if we would be mindful, more mindful, each and every one of us, how much we hurt others by turning a cold shoulder or a deaf ear, not hearing something we need to hear from them, not responding to a cry for help or care. Those things hurt, and they're painful to people. When we understand that our actions to other people are painful, then by the law of empathy, meaning you experience what you give what you experience, we will understand how much we have been wounded. And it feels like, you know, we've been stepped on by an elephant, and all it was our mother not caring about something we needed, instead say, Johnny, go to your room. You know, go deal with this yourself. Oh, those things hurt. I mean, they really do. And we hurt each other all the time just by not realizing that an injury to the soul, to the heart, or to our emotional body is a painful thing to deal with. So then we go around thinking, I must have done something really, really wrong. No, the little kid that goes to the bedroom gets sent there. It's just mom was having a hard day. Mom had, her cake had fallen. She had a hard day at work. Dad was late coming home for dinner, and now she's got to go out and get something else to cook. And she just didn't want to deal with your problem. She thought it was insignificant, sent you to your room. She didn't even know what she did. Just like Yeshua said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. Like, what the heck are you doing? You don't know. And we just need to be more caring for one another. And that one thing will take care of all the forgiveness you need. Because you will then begin to see that what you think you're guilty of isn't at all guilt. It's pain. And it will go away. It will just go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Glenda, you know, that reminds me, what you just shared reminds me of more of the specifics of what I experienced when he was there with me. I was being hard on myself about some behavior, something that I was doing that I didn't feel good about. And when I bowed to him and he was there, he said, and he didn't say it in words, but intimated to me, oh, no, 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 don't focus on that. Don't focus on what you did. Focus on the pain that's underneath and what caused that. And let's heal that now.
Exactly.
He is infinite love.
He's telling you the same thing I'm telling you.
Yeah. So thank you, Glenda, for that conversation and those prayers, everyone, for those blessings. and to Yeshua for
You're very
his
welcome.
Constant love. Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, I was just talking, texting Nancy before the call to see if she, it was okay, was here on time, and we're going to go as expected. Okay. Well, she asked me in return how I'm feeling, and this crazy cough I've had for months is still hanging on. It's like a bad dog that's got me by the pants leg. It won't turn loose. And I keep running forward, and that dog won't turn loose of my pants leg. And I just said, Nancy, I'm not going to put any more thought on it, because one of these days that dog's going to turn loose and its cough is just going to be gone. And I said, I spent way too much time trying to fix it, heal it, medicate it, pray for it, bless it. And so I made this comment to her, which is really very, very true, is that when I had the spinal pain after, it came on shortly after Larry passed away. And during the move from our home in South Texas up here, not having a new home, and all the various pains that I was going through, I couldn't get rid of it. No matter what I did, I couldn't get rid of it. And the doctors kept telling me, it'll just go away. It's really not anything that requires surgery. It's not anything. They were dismissing it, basically, saying it'll go away. And I just would think to myself and to them, how does a level 9 pain just go away without fixing something? Well, I've told this story so many times, I'm going to telescope it, get down to the point. And I decided to ignore it and create a blessing seminar. And I had to get confirmation from Yeshua that it was the right thing to do, because I didn't want all the attendees to be buying airline tickets and making hotel reservations if I wasn't up to the job. And I said, can you give me confirmation? I will be able to do this. He says, you'll be able to do it. Don't worry about it. And we got to just a few days before, and I was having a conversation with him, and I was talking about how excited I was for the seminar, how much I wanted to do it, and how much I loved doing this. And the pain just disappeared. It just disappeared. It was gone. Well, in retrospect, when I look back on that a couple of years later, I realized that pain was hanging on because I felt guilty. Not because I'd done something that I could put on paper and say this was bad. It's just I wasn't able to do enough to keep Larry from falling into the pain he went to, and his death, losing the house. I just knew I must have mismanaged something. I must have done something wrong, and I must be being punished for that. Really, on a deeply subconscious level, that's what was going on. When I got myself completely immersed in the blessing conference and that was going to be happening, and talking to everybody and preparing the presentation with Yeshua, it's like, wow, I didn't do anything wrong. My life is a great value. I'm giving my love and my heart and my soul to work with the healing of Yeshua and the grace of God. And that pain was gone. It was gone. And I think that may serve as an example for what I'm saying, is that I think a lot of the pain we carry in life is something subconsciously we have connected to a need for punishment. But there was no need for punishment. You know, we didn't do anything wrong to our parents or our best friends. They were responsible for their life. They were doing what they did. But we have such unhappy dialogues at times. Just put it that way. An unhappy conversation that we internalize and we take way too seriously, because really, love is all there is. It's who you are. It's who I am. It's who your mom is, your dad, your best friends. And all the rest, it's just dialogue that's bubbling up from situations or circumstances or things we don't yet understand or we don't yet know how to deal with. And we're really, really bad about one thing, guys, all of us, is transferring our misunderstanding onto somebody else. But what we need to do is transfer our love onto somebody else. Then it all goes away. We all goes away. Yeshua just simply transferred his love onto all of humanity, which is why he had to completely let go of life in order to do that. Wouldn't have been possible. He had to completely let go of all the pain he suffered on the cross because it was all just illusion. He let go. And in the letting go, we were all forgiven. His pain was completely released. And he rose on the third day. So all this pain that we're going through, it's something we don't yet understand, that we've internalized. And we think we have to fix something in life. You know, I've got a really good friend that just can't seem to get over the pain she's been feeling since her husband passed. And I can relate to that, and it doesn't matter what I tell her. She's going to have to realize it herself. She didn't cause him his passing. She didn't cause it. She didn't fail him. She didn't do anything wrong. There's no reason for her to be punished. But the thing is, we don't even recognize that we're associating these painful events, these hurtful events, as if they were punishments. And I don't know what to say other than just to tell you the truth I know and to help you to acknowledge that in your own life. You don't need that pain. We try. We really try to punish ourselves, my friends, because we think that if we punish ourselves, then we won't do something like that again, ever again. Well, you know, other people are going to suffer again. Other people are going to misunderstand you again. Other people are going to be angry with you again. But it's all for reasons that exist in their life. And it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Drop the pain. And then share the love. See, love is what we need to be giving to our friends, our loved ones, and even our enemies. Because the reason they're angry and coming at you, because they're in pain and they think it's your fault. Love is the answer. Love is the answer, my friends. But I'm not trying to make it easy. It's not easy. It's not easy being down in this complicated dimension of the world with cause and effect bouncing off the walls and, you know, hitting us and stinging us every time it's just a ping pong ball, and yet it hits us as if it was a hard ball. And then we get angry. We get mad. We hit back. We got to throw that ball back at somebody else and say, okay, you see how this feels? How about throwing some love back and say, hey, you know what? Why don't you see how this feels? It'll change the world.
Yeah. And I know I've shared this before, Christopher. It's like I read this once, and it was so profound about hate being sort of arithmetical, just 1, 2, 3, 4, but love is exponential, you know, 2, 4, 16. And it is interesting to think about it like that, to sort of face every situation with love. It's pretty powerful stuff there, Glenda. Pretty wonderful.
Well, it created the universe. So look out on a starry night and see if you can see the Milky Way. And just say, hello, love.
Yeah.
And I think an excellent prayer to have sometimes. I know we need to pray about in detail about the things that we want. And we are told by Yeshua, by the apostles, to ask. We are told to ask. But ask with a kind of humility. Like, Lord, what do I not understand about this? Can you help me to understand and find answers for this problem? Can you help me make progress in solving what's hurting our family, what's hurting our nation, what's hurting all of us? What do we need to do together to make this work and to take the problem off of our heads, like lifting a blanket so that our light can shine. You can present the problem and work your way into love. And it's a good way to pray. It's a good way to pray because, God appreciates that. It's a way of showing great respect, great humility, and great appreciation for the core mechanism of this world, the way it was put together. And sometimes we do have to work through things in layers because we are so focused on, well, when you're in the world, and we wouldn't be here right now, but you don't have to be. You can also be in a higher place. You can be in many layers of potential, reality, love, service, and prayer all at the same time. But the way we're configured as humans, our attention usually goes to the squeakiest wheel, which means where the problem is. That's usually what draws our attention. And so we put our attention on the squeaky wheel when the squeaky wheel cannot heal itself. It can't fix itself. It doesn't have the machinery to do it. And all we need to do is go to a higher level and look down on that wheel or whatever it is that's bothering us, and we'll find the answers from a higher level. The answers are always there. And, you know, we pray, and we want that tire inflated because without it, we can't drive to work tomorrow. And so we got all of our attention on that, and we agonize over it. We stress over it so much. We don't sleep all night. And then we do figure out how to get that wheel fixed. We get to work, but we're so tired we can't do a good day's work. And that's the way life keeps going for us. One problem feeds into another. Well, be mindful of the fact that there are places of perfection that coexist with wherever you have a problem. No matter how bad your problem is, there is a place in which your life is perfect. There is a place in which you can touch the grace of God. There is a place where you have no pain. You have no confusion. And sometimes it's just good to take a nap, go to bed, sleep on it, wake up with a fresh mind the next day, pray again. Talk to somebody that doesn't have that problem. And it's not that they will have an answer for you, but they will give you a connection through them to a place that also doesn't have that problem. You know, we could be great therapy to one another by just sharing the joy of where we can be, even though others cannot be there. I think this is the real blessing of bringing flowers or balloons to someone who's sick. They're not going to go out and play with those balloons. They don't really much care about those flowers. And probably before the days are over, they're going to find a family member they're going to give the flowers to, where those flowers can go and give joy to somebody else. But I tell you what it does mean to them. What it does mean is that I'm bringing you my joy, and I'm here for you to bring you a better way to feel, a better way to embrace life. And I'm here for you, and there are better places for you to be. And I just wanted you to see that. That's the real actual meaning of bringing flowers or candy or balloons to somebody who's unhappy. That you can take them to a better place. And that candy's probably not going to do a bit of good for their body or even maybe their soul. But the place you bring them to will probably do a great deal of good. And that's what matters. That's what matters.
I'll tell you what, Glenda, you're bringing us that every week when you share the good news. You know, the apostles that went out and shared the good news, the gospel, right? And I like when you share on this level, it's giving me and my friends and so many people around the world a taste of that good news. And it what occurs to me is that why Yeshua was so adamant with the Pharisees is because sometimes the good news of God was used in such ways and taught in such ways that it started to replicate those patterns of self-shaming and blaming. And I feel like he came to wash that away. He literally, to me, last week, and he's coming to us right now. To say, actually,
he
no, did. You're not
and
going
he
to
does.
Take on that belief.
Yeah.
No, you're not,
yeah.
You're not
no,
taking
it
on
is.
That belief.
You got it. You got it. Yeah. I mean, really. And I'll tell you a very close to present time example of exactly that. Yesterday, I stayed up late last night because a friend of mine in another country far away had been in a state of depression and sickness, and I had been trying to reach her because she was very depressed, and I couldn't reach her, and I couldn't get through a text, and I thought, okay, I'll just pray for her. And I was feeling a little down about the fact that wouldn't it be so nice if I could just reach more people? I would love to be able to do that because just giving people the idea that there's a better level or reality on which to live could wipe away so much pain. And you wipe away the pain, then you wipe away the sharing of pain and the transferring of pain. And then you wipe away the anger and the frustration. Oh, I could go on and on about this, but anyway, I'll get to the point. Well, it was kind of late at night, and because I was online looking for a text from her, I got this email coming in from Hong Kong. And it was from what I thought was a new connection, a brand new connection, and in a sense it was brand new. A gentleman from Hong Kong had been trying to place an order in our store. and was having an immense degree of difficulty getting the order through. And he didn't know he was writing me. He was just writing, texting on our store platform, you know, our store email, expressing and giving a very detailed report of all the difficulties he was having. And I thought, you know, I have a feeling it's about 9 o'clock in Hong Kong or 10 o'clock. I checked online to make sure, and I thought, you know, I should just write him right now because I'll reach him. If I wait till tomorrow when I get up, he'll be sleeping. So I wrote him, and I apologized for all the trouble he was having with the store and assured him we could work everything out for him. Come Monday morning, I'll get with our webmaster, and I'll have our fulfillment take care of everything. And if he's got a payment problem, we'll just send him an invoice from PayPal. In other words, I solved all his problems for him. And I just said, it's a pleasure to help you. And I hope that you are so blessed by everything you receive. And then I just signed it, Glenda. Well, I didn't know whether he would know who this was from, but he wrote me back within about 15 minutes, and he just wrote back and said, oh, my gosh, I had no idea I was actually going to connect with you. I've got to tell you that you have saved our family's life so many times over here. We have a large family, and we have one copy of Love Without End we have passed around maybe 50 times, and we have wanted to talk to you, and you have changed our lives. You have brought joy to us when nothing else could bring us joy, and healed our family. We had serious illnesses, and he just went on and on with his email, and I wrote him back, and we had this great conversation between about 12:30 and 1 o'clock my time in the morning, and it was a perfect example of how I couldn't reach someone else, but someone else reached me. I responded, and this gentleman has been, and his family, his mother especially, who's a super fan of Love Without End, they have been reading these books and our essential oils for years, like about 8 or 9 years, had no connection with them directly until early this morning. So What you're saying, Christopher, is it's an example of we don't know how far we're reaching out. When we're conducting these blessings, when we're telling people about the books, when we're sharing, one of the main reasons that I have put so much emphasis on the essential oils is because it all started when I had enjoyed a fragrance when Yeshua was with me. And most of you know the story, so I'll telescope it real short. I spent about 10 years of my life learning how to make essential oils because nobody could create that fragrance for me. I knew I had to do it myself. Well, in the process, I learned to love this spirit of life that comes up from the earth. And I realized that this communicates with people in a way that words can't. Sometimes we don't speak the right words. Sometimes we have misunderstandings over words. And especially in religious conversations, wrong words have been spoken when really people were only wanting to communicate love and forgiveness and redemption. And they went around the barn three times first to tell somebody what a sinner they were, so that they could enjoy the fact that somebody has totally forgiven them. And by the time you get to the point of the message, people have run away. They've had more hurt feelings than ever. You know, we get strangled with our words so often. There's so much doctrine that has been corrupted with words, when really love would do it all. Love would do it all. And after I had immersed myself in the spirit of the earth, I realized the earth is loving us unconditionally. The earth gives us her joy, her power, her strength unconditionally. And so I just love doing that. And often it makes such a difference for people because they get to experience love without words. They get to experience forgiveness without words. And the essence of Christ without somebody describing what he said, what he's all about. You know, it just is pure and simple essence. So I hope that was valuable to say, Christopher.
All of it has been. Thank you so much. I feel like we're all soaking in this. Just like what you said, Glenda, just the last thing I'll say is that we can exist on these multiple planes of awareness. So even if we're dealing with one of these pains or wounds, there's always access to a dimension of that divine perfection. And hallelujah that Jesus comes to us sometimes with such grace and mercy to help give us access to that level, even when we're down
Amen.
In the trenches of what we think is so insurmountable. It's like a slipknot that he just says, oh, no, that? Mm-hmm. let's just discard
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, see, last night I was depressed. I got this email from our new friend and customer from Hong Kong. Of all places, Hong Kong. Okay, I was elated. I was in heaven after that. So I went from depression to heaven. You know? And it can happen that easily.
Yeah. Such a filmy screen between who we really are and our condition sometimes. Isn't it crazy?
Yes.
It's so.
Yes,
so
it is. Strange.
It's like crazy. Christopher, thank you so much. We love you and you bring such wonderful, Glenda just brought through so much. Thank you so much for bringing that out of her, Christopher.
Well, thank you, everyone. What a blessing to be part of this community. And just a prayer for everyone to have a taste of that sweet, liberating grace.
Absolutely. Yummy.
Yummy. Well, we love you. And we have Susan on the line. So, Christopher, I'm going to open her line and bid you all of our love. And we'll see you next week.
Awesome.
Susan, your line is open.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's funny. I thought about sharing this, and I thought last week, and I went, oh, no, maybe I shouldn't. And the same thing this week. But, you know, I'm talking to Yeshua, and he's holding my hand. He goes, speak your truth. And that's okay, and speak from your heart. So I'm reading a book, and it's from the library, and it's called The Escape Artist by Jonathan Friedman. And it's about how this man escaped from Auschwitz and, you know, and to tell his story. It is I started reading the first 50 pages, and I put it down. And I prayed, and I said, I don't know that I can continue reading this. And the answer for me was, it's okay. If you can't read it, you can't read it. It's okay. And that made me feel better. So then the thought was, well, how about read like a chapter or so and see if you can get through. And, of course, I did do that. And whatever I knew, I mean, being Jewish, about World War II, I mean, we were bombarded with so much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know nearly as much as this accounting about this man who had a photographic memory. And he actually made it through the, you know, through the entire war. And the bottom line was, mm-hmm. when he, his, what he went through, I know I couldn't have endured. And what he described was even indescribable to me, who was shown so much. I mean, in detail. And I went, I don't know if I can deal with this. But I realized as I'm, you know, as I'm reading this, I said, how about what you do is before you read any of it, I want you to set your intention and pray that every word that you are reading gets sent to an influencer and somebody who can hear this, because not so much of what happened then, but what continues to happen, some of which, I mean, is such unbelievable evil. It was brought up last week, and I felt it keenly during Glenda's speech. That's what a lot of it came through to me. And I'm like, oh, and so much of it I'm unconscious about because I don't think I can handle it. So, and I can't live my life, you know, being conscious. But there is a certain responsibility in being conscious about it. Well, I will send every difficult word I'm reading out psychically, because you were talking about you never know who's going to reach it and what. And I said, and that will be my mission from the first page of this book to the last page, every single word. I am sitting reading only in places with heavy duty crystals that take everything slowly that I'm saying and passing it out into the world. And
what a gift. That's awesome, Susan. What a gift.
Well, what a book. This man, I'm reading a lot about women who were not recognized, and a wonderful author who was, you know, putting them to the light. Well, this was a man who wasn't really given the recognition like Schindler and all these others. And what he did was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so this author has given him recognition through this book. But is it difficult to read?
Oh, that's great.
Unbelievably. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably. And what blows my mind is that we as humans could reach a place that is beyond woe. It frightens the living. And you know, it can happen to any one of us. Because slowly, but if there's such temptation not to, follow your heart and follow the divine, it's so easy to slip and slide. And before you know it, I can't imagine being in a place like this, but hey, it was human beings in a place like this. And it frightens me. And I know that as I sit here, there are places in the world where horrific things are happening.
I can't ignore it.
Yes.
It's terrible.
I'm sorry. I never mean to, to say anything that's just painful. But, and I do believe in good, and I believe that just being told, read the words and press it out, is something God's having me do.
Exactly. No, what you're doing is therapy. Not only for yourself, but for others who will receive that energy. We need to release the pain. You know, we don't deserve it. And sometimes it's the best of people who suffer, because they're the ones that want to absorb the pain they feel is necessary for an unrepentant world. For a guilty world. They feel the world is guilty of countless sins, and they will receive the pain. You know, we ask why do the good suffer? That's been a question throughout history, because the good will take on the pain of the others. Mm. That's why.
Yeah, well.
And what about nobody's above suffering? I know in Love Without End, Yeshua said, nobody's above suffering, or because we're taking on some aspect of it, Glenda, in the adamantine particle world. We're all sharing sort of the soup of whatever we've created here so that we can transmute it, right? Each one of us?
Well, exactly. So that we can, You know, the thing is, you can't get rid of something you won't look at. And when we can look at something and say, this is horrific, this cannot be allowed. And if I have to suffer in order to cleanse it, then let it be. Because, and there are souls making that sacrifice every day.
Yes. There really are.
Yeah. It's very frightening to see humanity could reach such I mean, this is so detailed. This book is so detailed. It's hard to imagine that us human beings could be brainwashed, reach such levels. It's, that alone frightens me. It does. It doesn't even
happen. And it's going on. Yeah.
Right.
And it's going on today, Susan.
Right.
It's going on right now.
That's exactly my point. That it's going, it doesn't stop. You would think we could learn from such things, but we have not. And that frightens the living daylights out of me, Glenda.
We're scaring the daylights out of me too, Susan. But, you know, we pray. And we do exactly what you're doing is a wonderful thing. You're confronting it. What we won't confront will persist. And
True.
I don't mean to say that we should just heap into our life depressing, negative reality, because it only exists on one level, and it's one level just above hell is what it is. And it does exist for many people. But if we don't look at it, we can't lift it. If you want to be able to lift 100 pounds, you got to start by lifting 10 pounds and then 20 pounds and work your way up. And people who are just living in fairyland, I mean, like Disney, but I meant
right.
that like Disneyland.
Well,
and there are people who think, oh,
no,
life is great.
Left. Yeah, that's what you were talking about last time. And I started reading this book last week, and so I really zoned in on a lot of what you were talking about. And
good,
you know. And, I said, well, I'm going to just read this very slowly, and every word is going to – my intention will be sent out for this, because this is going – this isn't just something that happened in the past. This is an ongoing decision.
Right. It is. It is. I have a there's a rabbi who's on YouTube, very very popular, not just with Jewish people, but it's millions of followers who are non-Jewish, because he is so clear, so educated, so wise, and has so much to offer. I listen to him two or three times a week. You know.
Tell me his name, or maybe you can email me his name so I can tune into it.
Well, his name is Manus Friedman.
Manus?
Rabbi Manus Friedman.
Friedman.
M-A-N-N-I-S. I think it's double N. I think it might be one N. Anyway, it's Manus Friedman. F-R-I-E-D-M-A-N. Friedman.
Mm-hmm. I will check it out. I know, because
Rabbi Manus Friedman. He is, and he's funny. I mean, he's got a fantastic sense of humor, but he also is right there on the spot with what's going on, why it's happening, and how to get above it, and how to disperse it. I love his wisdom. And, I look forward to listening to him two or three times a week, like I used to love listening to Billy Graham. It doesn't matter to me what religion someone's coming from. When they're speaking the truth of God and they cultivated wisdom through their living, I just love to listen to them. And so I would recommend him to any of you. He is, you know, being a rabbi, he does speak to the Jewish concept of living, but it's also a universal truth that he's speaking to that anyone can gain truth and wisdom from. So,
yeah,
even me.
Well, absolutely you. Absolutely
and,
you.
And, of course, this was Yeshua's cultural
beginning.
Birth.
Right.
His beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where his where his feet walked. So, well, Nancy, do we have anyone else on the call?
We don't. We have a quiet community today. We have just a few callers, but there is time, folks. It's only 4:01 on. Or?
Okay. Well, it's about time for our blessing, but let's take a few more. Susan, thank you so much for saying what you did, because I think you will encourage other people to look hard at critical issues that are that we need to face today.
Yeah.
You know, these are not good times we're going through right now.
Yeah.
But that
I was
doesn't
picking
mean
on, yeah, last week when you were talking about this is dangerous, it's true. It's we're not living in Disney World, and I was you know, kind of coming from that. And that's why I wanted to speak, and then I said, well, if I didn't speak last week, I'm going to pick on that this week. Thank you. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you so much. I know that took courage. And thank you so much, Susan. And I want to encourage others to take a hard look at what's going on. I'm not going to take sides on any conflict, because the conflict is not the issue. The lack of understanding and the shortage of love is the issue. We are immersed in our conflict, thinking that that's where the answer is. If we just slug it out and we transfer the blame to someone else, that everything can be fixed. No, nothing's going to be fixed at this level.
That one.
Are you kidding? You know, two steps above hell and things are going to be fixed? No. we've got to get two steps below heaven. And that's where things start getting fixed.
Right. Right. I'm glad
we can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here.
Yeah. That is why.
Okay. Well, okay.
We have one
Nancy?
More caller. We have Francesca. Hi, Francesca.
Hello. Thank you so much, Nancy, for taking my call. And thank you so much, Glenda, for all of this just inspiring, you know, discourse on various topics. I feel like it is so needed. I so need it. Every single week I feel uplifted when I come here and listen, and I'm so deeply grateful. Because it can just be so easy to get really bogged down, you know, with what's going on around us sometimes. And I'm also really looking forward to your book, when that comes out.
Me too.
Yeah. So I'm super looking forward to that. And, I would like to, you know, ask for continued prayers and blessings for how I can be a blessing, you know, where I work, and how I can bring, you know, positive, bring something positive like love and truth and all of these different things to where I work, where I feel it's just so needed. So thank you.
Yeah. Just be mindful and don't blink. Sometimes we blink when something's happening that we don't want to see. Don't blink. Be aware. Be conscious. And don't necessarily jump into the fire or even say something, but be aware. Once you are aware of what needs to be addressed and that you noticed it, that's all it takes. It will come back around to you in a way that you can address. You don't accelerate. This is, I'm not saying this to you, Francesca, because mm-hmm. I think you are a gentle soul who would not tend to jump into conflict or fire. But
absolutely
so
not.
Often we do. When we see something is wrong, we want to jump into it. Just be, and if we don't want to jump into it, we just turn off and say, okay, I'm not going to look at that. It's either or. Either I don't see it or I'm jumping into it. How about a third alternative, guys? This is what I'm trying to present. The third alternative is that, okay, I see it. I'd like to make a contribution, and I'm going to wait until the opportunity comes around for me to speak or say something or do something that presents an, you know, a stage of improvement. Just wait. Be patient. The minute you have noticed something, I guarantee you, you will get an opportunity to say something. But when it comes to you, it will be appropriate for you. It will be appropriate for what you can offer and what you can say and what you can do.
Thank you. That's
You're
really
welcome.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. You can always, you're here to, this is to everybody. You're here to make a difference. And you will make a difference by waiting for an issue you notice to come around to you in appropriate ways for you to address. Okay? And just relax. Be mindful. Ask to be of service. And you will be brought into service.
Yeah.
You will be. It works that way.
And
you
really trust
are
that
here
instant.
To serve God.
Yeah.
Yes, Nancy, what was that? I talked over you. I'm sorry.
Just trust that impulse when, you know, God comes through you to act on it, like you're saying, because I feel like when we're really trusting God, we shift from, like, ourselves to God-centeredness, if you will. It's like, because it seems like when we don't trust, we're sort of thinking that we've got all the answers. And it just, but all of a sudden, that trust for me, it's like, okay, just trust it. Go with it. And you'll know. It'll be really spontaneous, you know?
Exactly. Well, okay, we are here to serve. And if you know that, then God will use you. If you know that, you consent to be of service. And he'll use you. But he will use you in ways that are appropriate to you.
Hmm. Wow. Thank you, Francesca.
Thank
that was
you
very
so much.
Helpful.
Okay.
Thank you, Glenda.
Well, you're welcome. And I just wish blessings so much to all of you and to everyone you know and love. Everyone that you're connected to in any way, may the ripple effect change the world. May the ripple effect bring us all to a higher level, and we leave behind this torturous existence that so many people are living in that then, of course, affects the life we all share. We're all in this together, my friends. And let's do what we can from where we are, being of service in whatever way God calls us. Okay? And this is a good way right here, is to come on Sunday. Tell your friends. Tell your friends to come. You know,
Amen.
we're not we're not preaching a biased religion here. What we talk about on our blessing call is initiated by our congregation largely, and sometimes maybe I talk too much, but I get carried away with the passion of the moment, and it all works out. By the time we're ready to receive the blessing, it all works out, and we get to hear what a lot of lovely, caring people are concerned about, are going through, or want answers for, or maybe have answers to share. And it's an amazing thing what we bring here on these Sundays. And there's never any pressure of any kind, never any pressure to conform, no pressure to even tithe, no pressure to believe in any way other than you, how you believe. We honor the beliefs of all people reaching for God in their way, as they are, the way they are. And it's between him and them. We're just here to facilitate that connection, because when that connection exists, we're all benefited in so many ways. So, Nancy, I am going to mute our call. And we now are going to prepare to receive our blessing. How do you prepare? Well, really, you let go of any protocols you've learned, because between you and God, no protocol is necessary. There's no position you have to get into, no chance you have to make, no formal prayers that you have to pray. We're going to ask you to pray during the conduction of the blessing, but that's only so that you enhance and strengthen the connection between you and the giver of blessings, and that you reach your basket out to be filled with his grace, his blessings that were intended specifically for you. So in getting ready, we just want to relax. Let go of the world and the problems of the world. It's okay. For now, hey, somewhere the sun is shining. Somewhere people are happy. Somewhere people are blissful. Somewhere a miracle is being performed. Somewhere a baby is being born. Somewhere someone is transitioning into heaven and opening the gates of eternity. Somewhere all the good things you could imagine in life are happening. There's a feast being spread before people. There's love. There's a wedding. There's a family reunion. There's a healing of a relationship. There's a healing of a body. Somewhere there are all the good things you can imagine. Connect with those. Be there with those. Be happy that they're happening. And they will lift you to the place where, among all of these good things, you will receive your share. I want you to relax your body. Just extend your extremities, your arms and your legs, and move your feet around so that you've stretched your legs out. If you can stand, make windmills out of your legs. Make windmills out of your arms. But don't do anything that imbalances you. because this is not yoga. This is not the gym. We're not trying to prove what we can do. We just want to help our body flow. We want it to be loose and flowy. We want it to conduct the energy of the Holy Spirit, which encounters no resistance whatsoever, which brings healing to your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit. We want to receive the love of Christ, the grace of God, without resistance, without condition or requirement. We're just there being held like a newborn baby in the arms of love. I would like you to take a really deep breath now, as deep as you can. Hold it for a second or two, and then blow it out. Cleanse your lungs. Again, a very deep breath. Spread those ribs. Expand that diaphragm. Let the world, whatever part of it is in you, let it flow. Let it flow. Accept it. Expand it. And now exhale it. Give it back to the place from whence it came. You are you. You are clean. You are pure and perfect. And the last exercise I want to give you is the four square breath, the mindful breath. This was not given to me by Yeshua, but it's Yeshua approved. A lot of the things that I've learned through the years to get people loosened up, I've learned from my own therapy groups or breathing courses I've taken. And if it's Yeshua approved, I pass it on to you, because I found that these exercises are really good about taking the resistance out of your body, relaxing it, making all the parts work together a little bit better. And one of the easiest and the most therapeutic I ever learned was the four square breath. It's called four square because you're going to focus on your breath in four units. And as you do it, you're going to think of your breath going out on one side of a square and then releasing it and just relaxing as the breath travels out to the world along another path going on the front edge of that square away from you. And then you're going to pull it back to you on the other side of the square. Then you're going to pull it into you on the back side of the square. And we call it four because you're going to count to four as you do that. And it's a simple thing. It's just an ordinary breath, like you would be sitting at the dining room table talking to your friends. Just an ordinary breath, but you're mindful of it. And what do I mean by that? Well, it's something to learn about life, because all of life is breath. The breath of life fills you, keeps you going. The breath of life anoints you with the grace of God. The breath of life started your life, and it will end when it's time for your soul to go on to another level. So you're going to be mindful of exhaling and giving your breath into the world. Just give your breath to the world and count to four. It's your four. I'm not going to count it for you because everybody's got a different pace, a different timing. Your timing is unique. Okay, just now to play with this. Just exhale to the count of four and let go of it. and pause to the count of four while that breath you gave away is being received. Now it's your turn to take in a breath. Take it in to the count of four and receive it. But now you need to implement that breath into the functions of your body. Let your breath have that breath and empower your body with it to the count of four. And then you start all over again. You give breath to the count of four. You pause for a gracious gift. You take back to the count of four, and you receive to the count of four. And this has actually been studied, my friends, and it can virtually stop a panic attack, or actually stop it. It has been studied in many ways. People have used this in dense and tense traffic to stop a resistive state of mind that was getting the best of them. And, you know, this is a normal breath, a normal state of mind. You're not in a trance breathing of any kind. You could do this driving a car. You could actually do this having, let's say, a challenging conversation with an employee or someone you work with or your boss or a significant other, and you want to bring up a conversation that's just maybe a little bit challenging for you, be doing the four square breaths while you're having that conversation. It is amazing how the energy in the room changes because you're actually giving life to the receiver. You're pausing for grace unto the receiver, and you're taking back a portion of life for yourself and giving nourishment into yourself. You see how that works? Well, you can do that in anything because it's not trance breathing. You're not hypnotically taken into this place that's disconnected from life or disconnected from the world. You're in the middle of life, mindfully in the middle of everything that's happening. And that's what's so great about this breath. And I would like you to continue being in this breath while I offer my prayer to Yeshua. And I would like blessing givers to join me and be in their prayer as they do it, their breath as they do it, and continue praying as we go into the blessing. Oh, Lord, in three forms, oh, Lord, the Creator, the Spirit of life, and the life given to us that receives us as children unto God. We pray to divinity in all its forms. We surrender to divinity in all its forms that we may receive however blessings may be given to us, according to your will, according to your need for our service on this earth. We come offering ourselves as a service unto you. And in serving you, we ask that we may be blessed with the strength to serve, the wisdom to serve, the grace and the love to serve as service is needed. We ask that our prayers be heard and that our prayers be of benefit to all this earth, to our beautiful Mother Earth, and to the animals who serve us without question, on every day, all day. We ask that you care for all of humanity, because we are in this together. And we don't know what we're doing most of the time. We don't even know how much someone may be hurting. We just ask that you take over our words and our life and our prayers, that we may give them unto life, that we may give our breath unto life, we may give our love unto life, and all shall be healed. We ask that you care for the children while they are growing up and receiving with faith. Help them that they are not hurt, that they are not bruised and not abused, that they are fed and loved and cared for. And then in like form, that we feed and nourish and care for one another, that we understand there are people terribly suffering on this world, and that our hearts reach out to them, that we make love our priority in the way we choose to live our life every day. In making that our priority, we know that we are in service to you. And we reach with all of our hearts to be held in your arms. At night, to rest peacefully in our sleep, in your protection, in your love. We ask, Yeshua, that you walk beside us and give us courage. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you give us wisdom, you give us guidance, and that you give us the right choice of thoughts and words and deeds as we move through our days. And now we ask these things in the name of the one who comes, who has come, and stands to honor us and stand for us in the court of heaven. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your love and your healing. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me in offering the blessing now? And being here together for all, let us begin. your blessing has been given. Amen. Amen. And amen. Now, I want you to lie down wherever it's flat and comfortable. You need to be horizontal because you don't want the energy going to your brain and you don't want to think or talk. Just don't even continue your prayer. Just be. Just be who you are. That's it. That's all you have to do to receive. You finish receiving what has been given. And I wish you a lovely week. I wish you many blessings. All the blessings that you've been given, I pray that you harvest and that you rejoice in harvesting. Bye-bye for now, and much love to you.